Welcome to the Company of Dads podcast, where we explore the sweet, silly, strange, and sublime aspects of being a lead dad in a world where men who are the go-to parent aren't always accepted at work, among their friends, or in the community for what they're doing. I'm your host, Paul Sullivan. Our podcast is just one of the many things we produce each week at the Company of Dads. We have various features, including the Lead Dad of the Week. We have our community, both online and in person. This year, we're following Skip Cherry Holmes as he goes through his Lead Dad diaries, as he transitions from being a traveling musician to a full-on lead dad. We also have a resource library for all fathers. The one-stop shop for all of this is our newsletter, The Dad. So sign up at thecompanyofdads.com/thedad. Today, my guest is Jason Frischman, a psychologist and founder of Journeymen, a group that inspires fathers to journey through life with responsibility, meaning, intention, and partnership. The goal is to help men create and sustain authentic relationships with one another and live a more meaningful life, becoming engaged participants in their family, community, and work lives. Their signature program is called Connected Fathers, which is a three-month group coaching program to support men in their fatherhood journey and define masculinity for themselves. Welcome, Jason, to the Company Dads podcast.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate that. It's really good to be here.
We're talking in Vermont, right?
Oh, yeah. We're in the fall foliage season. So chilies and outdoor fires and, you know, beautiful sights and colors.
Pretty good. How is it up there? Because we're down in Connecticut and it's seeming a little muted this year, maybe because of all the rain. Do you got some vibrant colors up there in Vermont?
Definitely vibrant colors. But I think it is, I've heard before the season started, we heard that the colors were going to be a little muted. And I don't know if I see it muted. I see it as it kind of has come more quickly. And so colors were beautiful for like a couple of days. And now they're already starting to turn. And, you know, we're moving more quickly towards winter than I think we usually do in the past.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah. At least color wise.
I don't know. What come first? How'd you get to Vermont, or how did you get into this work? Let's go with the work. You know, how did you become, you know, how did you decide to become a psychologist? One, that's a lot of work, a lot of school. But two, how did, you know, men, and we're going to talk about the whole notion of the journey, how did that become your focus?
It's a long story, but the quick part is I became a psychologist. You know, as a kid, I always was always interested. I actually wanted to be a pediatric neurosurgeon as a child. And I got into college pre-med. I got a whole scholarship.
You wanted to look inside the brains of your friends? Is that what you wanted to do? What did you want to do?
I think early on, you know, my father's a social worker. My mom's a teacher. I grew up visiting their work and really watching how much they loved what they did. And so as a young teen, I was like, I want to do what they do, but I want to go deeper. I want to, like, you know, I think at that point I was interested in medicine, and I just really was so interested. I've always been interested in the working of the brain.
Yeah.
And so the connection between the biological and the neurological with sort of what we look like and how we interact every day was always a real interest to me. But then freshman year in college, I did very well grade wise, but at the end of the year decided this is not where I want to go. Like, this is not the innards of human beings is not really the direction that I want to take. And I kind of flipped out and had a really hard time. Like, this is what I've always wanted to do. I don't know what to do. Talking to my parents, they were very supportive. And the one thing they said was, well, don't go into social work because, you know, that's what we've been doing. And it's too much of a struggle, you know? And I said, well, okay. And I went into psychology. And so, you know, similar enough, similar struggles, all of that. But I also have always, I've always gone the sort of interesting and new route. So even though being a psychologist is a pretty prescribed path, right? Like, I got my master's degree, I went and practiced, I got my doctoral degree, I got a license, I practiced, I followed that path, but I've always danced around it. I've always been a little bit fringe. My master's degree in psychology is in adventure therapy, and my doctorate focuses on narrative therapy.
Yeah. And that's something I want to dig into, because when you and I have talked in the past, this is pretty intriguing, particularly because, you know, I'm not saying you focus entirely on men, but you know, that's the journeyman is all about that. What does that mean? Yeah. What does adventure therapy mean? You know, how do you apply, you know, narrative therapy to what you're doing with men when men come to you with perhaps more, you know, seemingly traditional problems?
Yeah. So very, very quickly, adventure therapy is an international field using activities that, you know, stereotypically are often seen as adventure, backpacking, kayaking, cave, you know, climbing, things like that. And it uses those activities.
Like parenting three tired children. Does that count as adventure?
Well, it does in my world. So that's exactly where I've taken it, right? That. In fact, that's exactly where I was going to go, is that's what we're taking it to, is that adventure therapy traditionally, typically, is around going off into the woods and having an experience or a ropes course or, you know, some sort of experience that you have that is then used as a metaphor for the issue you're working on in therapy, right? Backpacking is a great example. If you go backpacking with a group of people, we can always, you know, if the group is sort of homogenous in the therapy they're looking for, right? Group therapy on the trail. Well, what's in your pack? What do you need to set up your camp with? So all of the elements of the backpacking experience are metaphored closely to the issues that each individual is working on, right? So that's sort of traditional, typical adventure therapy. For me, getting out of school, I was working at inner city schools in Boston. And so I was not taking anyone backpacking. I was not taking anyone ropes course. But one kid once said, he's like, just get into school's an adventure, right? These were kids who were really, you know, potentially in a lot of danger each morning walking to school. And so I was always developing, like, all right, especially with my interest in narrative therapy, is, well, what's the story? What is the metaphor of adventure or journey? And how does that fit in our lives, in healing, in connecting, and in creating partnerships with other people who care, right? And so the adventure piece, I moved slightly away from backpacking and kayaking, and, you know, I love those things, and more towards this metaphor of life as an adventure and life as a journey. And how can we do that in an office? How can we do that? You know, back when I was working in Boston, my office was, one of my offices was literally a bathroom that we put a table over the toilet. Huh. And, you know, that's where they gave me. So how can I do adventure work with a kid in that kind of space, right? And so that developed over time. And so narrative was the perfect answer, right? Because narrative is all about the stories we tell about ourselves and others tell about us in isolation and in connection with our context, all the people around us, our family, our culture, community, and our society, right? And so where that's moved to now, working with fathers, is how do we, as dads, really connect A, with ourselves, and then B, with our family and community and work extension, using and creating new stories for masculinity and fatherhood, right? Yeah. The typical traditional stories that are told in our families and in culture and media, they're not supporting us in the same way. I mean, we can look at, you know, men have higher levels of anxiety and depression. They have higher levels of suicide. They have higher levels of heart disease. They, you know, all of these things, part of that is our disconnection, which is in many ways, you know, if not created, supported and pushed forward with our social stories about how to be men.
Yeah. I want to drill down on that, because if you think of, you know, the stories that we read and we learn in school, that we continue reading, there's an arc, there's a protagonist, you know, there's somebody who is triumphant. I mean, some, you know, different shows now are taking the approach more of an anti-hero than a hero, but still the anti-hero is still successful, being, you know, anti-heroic. And everything wraps up neatly in, you know, 300 pages or, you know, 22 minutes. What do you do to sort of unpack that narrative, which I could imagine is all the research around, you know, men struggling with depression, with suicide, with alienation, with isolation. Well, if you buy into that narrative of success, of unbridled success, of even if there are obstacles, you quickly conquer the obstacles and you move on, because again, you only have 300 pages, you got to finish the story. What do you do to sort of shift that? Or what do you do to that narrative? Do you shift it, challenge it, rewrite it? Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, it's not a simple answer, but I think the first thing that I do specifically with guys is help them become aware of it, right? So much of these narratives are whispered, right? They're in your face if we look at them, but if we're not looking at them, we just accept it as like, well, this is it, right? This is, these are the stories, and we're not, it's like, you know, fish swimming in water isn't aware of the water kind of thing is, yeah. We're not aware of these guiding narratives, and that's on a lot of levels. So the very first thing is increasing awareness and being able to identify the sort of voice of these narratives more and more often. So the first example, and you and I talked a little bit about this, is there's the narrative, the hero's journey, right? That is a tried and true, very well studied, you know, very well developed story in that every Pixar movie, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, you know, so many people, that is considered the story, right? It was called the monomyth, the one myth, right? And I loved it. I mean, I wrote my dissertation from the metaphor of the hero's journey. And I spent the first 15 years of my career developing interventions and therapeutic techniques and things based on the hero's journey. And I spent, you know, when I was doing more workshops and seeing clients and public talks, I would often ask, what's your favorite adventure story? Mm-hmm. And inevitably, 9.9 times out of 10, it was some version of the hero's journey, either a fictional one, or, you know, someone says that time I got lost on the mountain, or, you know, whatever it is. And for the first 10 years or 15 years of my career, I was like, great, I must be doing something right. You know, like it was very self-congratulatory. But then, you know, with narrative training, we actually, one of the tenets of the narrative perspective is questioning taken for granted stories and narratives, right? Questioning the dominant story or paradigm and not accepting it just as is, right? If, you know, I love the hero's journey. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan. You know, I'm a huge MCU fan. But when I heard that over and over and over and over and over again, it was sort of in me and my training and kind of who I am and how I see the world, where I was like, oh, well, what does this mean? Right? Like, yeah. What does it mean that this is the only story that people are giving me? And maybe it's not that, oh, we got it right, but that this story has become so dominant that is actually, it's oppressive to other possibilities. It's oppressive. Well,
and also, if you think about, you know, the hero's journey, along the way, he's got to get some people out of the way, and some people are anti-heroic. Some people, you know, struggle more. So what's the alternative, or what are some, I'm sure there's more than one, what are some of the alternatives that you use to help men, think through what's going on in their lives, and, you know, give me a couple of examples of how it works in practice.
Well, sure. The other side, you know, like I said, I don't want to throw out the hero's journey wholeheartedly. I think there's some really good to it. Originally, Journeyman, my business was called Adventure's Other Half, because I think of the hero's journey as only half the story.
Is that when you have like blisters on your feet and you're regretting not like breaking in the shoes before you went for the hike, or is that something totally different?
In some ways, I never thought about it that way. But truly, here's the thing, is that when our hero is on, you know, their hero's journey, their big adventure, and let's say the blisters are hurting and the dragon is stomping on their head, right? And they're about to give up. What usually happens in those stories?
Somebody saves them.
What do you think? Somebody saves them. You know, a friend comes right at the nick of time, or more often than not, in conjunction with being saved, they find an amulet in their pocket, or they remember some wise words that someone told them, or they flash back and have a 3-minute montage to training so that they can power up and reignite that fire to finish the journey. Well, that 3-minute montage or that amulet is what I'm really interested in. And to answer your question, I call that, so we have the hero's journey, which is one side of the adventure. The other side I call foundational adventures, and they are adventures of at home, right? So they're this idea of how do we, as people, as humans, but particularly because of, I work with fathers, how do we as fathers get connected to what's most important to us, our values, our core beliefs, the reasons why we do all these things, and then apply them to our everyday interactions at home or in the equivalent of home, like not at work, not at, you know, this idea of like with my kids or, you know, these people whom I purport to love the most. How do I elevate the status of these everyday mundane experiences without it having to be epic or legendary? You know, without it having to be, I'm going to take next week off and we're going to go on this big trip, which is lovely.
Yeah.
But how can I spend, you know, 10 minutes or less every day having meaningful, really authentic connections with my kids that are foundational and create long-term partnerships and relationships? So this narrative is this idea of foundational adventures, and the sort of way we do it is we have guys, you know, the metaphor in the hero's journey about the dragon or the challenge is this big thing that you've got to take on. And historically, men's programs therapy in general uses that as like your big issue. How are you going to work on your internal issue? And that's important. I mean, I certainly in my clinical world outside of coaching, I work with guys who have significant anxiety, significant depression, and we do that. We talk about that. But the hero doesn't battle a dragon unless they've had years of like training with a sword, or at least some magical way of getting good with a sword, some way that they've like built a foundation. And for some reason, many of which I could share about, but we as a culture don't value the training side of the story. We don't value weeding the garden. We don't value doing the dishes. We don't value, you know, a lot of these things. And yet that's the most important, right? I would argue we cannot have epic or legendary lives unless we've built this foundational adventure where we are aware of our values and we know the skills we need to develop. And instead of the dragons, one of the things I do with my guys is we call them imps. You know, what are the imps? What are the little buggers that run around and like getting in the way of the things that of the direction and the treasure we want to achieve, right? They aren't necessarily big dragons, but there are stories, there are entities from our childhood, from our culture, from our own lives that get in the way, that may tend to have us be more reactive or more dismissive or more isolated or whatever. And if we're aware, again, awareness and attending to, if we're aware of the imps in our lives, we can do something about it. We can change our relationship to those stories and to those sort of beings in a way that allows us to really sink into the everyday. And that's really the mission in Journeyman is how do we elevate the status of the mundane and the everyday in terms of increasing meaning and value so that we have these amazing, like intentional relationships with the people we love the most.
So what you're telling me is I should listen to like next time I'm like weeding in the garden or this weekend when I'm raking leaves or doing some dishes, listen to some like John Williams movie scores, like from like Raiders of the Lost Ark or something. Dun, 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 dun. And I'll feel more.
No. The adventures of every day. I mean, you know, like.
I need to score my raking of the leaves. I need a good score to go along with that.
100%. In fact, when I was a kid, I'll never forget it. I went to summer camp and one of the counselors, the moment we walked in the cabin and the moment we left, he would turn on the radio and turn off the radio. And I asked him, I was like, why are you doing that so much? And he goes, life is better with the soundtrack. So yeah, when you're raking the leaves, when you're doing those things, what is the thing that hypes you up? It's either going to be music, a soundtrack, which I love that idea, or a talisman. You know, I keep certain things in my pocket at all time, you know, and they are meaning, they are imbued with meaning. They're imbued with like either literally tactical objects or practices and, you know, rituals or, you know, rhythms that you create in the day that allow you to be more present and allow you to like remember like, oh, this is the path I want to walk. These are my kids. This is my partner. This is, you know, and otherwise we get so caught up in society and culture's push, 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 busy, 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 the socialization of men, which has, you know, there's a whole other political step, which we don't necessarily have to go into, but, you know, the socialization of men has been damaging to many people in our lives, including men. You know, the patriarchy doesn't like men either, frankly.
Right, right. Unless you're Barbie, if you've seen the Barbie movie, when Ken comes back spouting patriarchy. When men come to you and you know, when they join, you know, when they become part of Journeymen, when they do the Connected Fathers retreats, what is it that, you know, they usually get the most out of? Like when they leave, you know, I'm sure they come to you for all different reasons. Obviously, normally in some sort of crisis or some sort of concern, some sort of question, something's driven them, like now's the time. But when they come out the other end, you know, what do you hope, or how do you hope they're thinking differently or feeling differently than they were when they came in?
It's a great question. I think the first thing that comes to mind, what I really, one of the things that I did martial arts for many years. We always used to joke there were secret teachings, right? You'd learn to punch, but the secret teaching to punching was really something else, right? Well, I joke that one of the secret teachings, not so secret now, the secret teachings of Journeymen is that our growth and our connections and our, you know, ourselves are built in the challenging times. They're built in the muck. And so the thing that I would want men to take away really from this program is the crappy times, the challenging and obstacles, the things that get in the way, the stressful moments. That's actually like, let's lean into that. Our mindset.
You're really selling this here. Like, come on, Journeymen, and we'll make you feel even worse about yourself than you did before. So when you go home and you're playing John Williams to do the dishes, you'd be like, I'm glad I'm here and not with Jason. Jesus.
No. No, what I'm saying is almost the opposite, which is you can lean into the challenging times and enjoy them, right? You can lean into those moments where we're stressed and we're all those things and know that there's treasure there. And so, you know, that's why it's the secret learning, because it doesn't always come across us so well. But, you know, what I see with guys, and what I want for guys is to really understand that our everyday actions have massive impact. You know, God, you know, taking, you know, connecting with our kids or our partner or ourselves on a small, consistent, and sort of self-compassionate way is the way we make the most growth. And so when we're aware of all of these things, we know about our imps, we know about our values, we know about these things, and the proverbial stuff hits the fan, we're able to lean into it and not feel worse, but rather feel better, and rather know this is temporary. It may be long-term temporary, depending on your situation, but I can get through this if I know, you know, kind of what's important to me, if I know what I'm going after, right? If I know that my journey, the treasure on my journey is to be more connected. And if right now I'm arguing and I'm not feeling connected, how do I stop? And I slow down, and what techniques or strategies can I use to like be more aware of what's going on in my world and to be more open to what's going on in the people around me's world so that we can get through the muck and we can take something from it.
Is it fair to say that some men might be on the wrong journey and you're kind of helping them get on the right journey? Is that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, if you're, you know, or that they're on the right journey, but they've been derailed and you need to, I don't want to beat this metaphor to death, but I'm trying to understand, you know.
I would say, I never thought about it in this way, but just thinking about it now, I would say more because of the sort of omnipresence of the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. It's not that men or fathers are on the wrong journey, but we've only been given half the map. Mm. Right. And so while on some levels, you know, I've literally had guys in my office say to me, like, if I'm not doing something epic or legendary, what am I? Who am I? You know, what's my worth? What am I doing? And so the other half of the map is around these foundations. It's not about don't do this journey. You're on the wrong place. Cause that, frankly, as you and I both know, will perk up all sorts of defensiveness in men and it unnecessarily. Right. But if we have the other half of the map, we also know how important it is to, you know, frankly, chop wood, carry water, right? To do the things of life that support all of the values and beliefs we say that we have.
Yeah, I love that. Jason Frischman,
yes,
thank you so much for being my guest today on the Company of Dads podcast. Where can people find you? Because there's a lot more to unpack than we have time for. So tell the listeners where they can find you.
Well, sure. The best way is my website, which is journeymenfoundation.com. That will bring you to the main page for Connected Fathers program. It'll give you a description of sort of the basics of the program and the curriculum and the foundational work that we do. It'll also give you a link to the blog, The Innkeeper's Journal, which has a wonderful metaphor that people can learn about if they want. And I'm also available on social medias, which I can send you the links for, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. And frankly, I'm the only one at Journeyman. So if people want to email me at jason@nourishedconnections.com, you'll get a personal reply from me.
Perfect. Thank you again, Jason. I've really enjoyed our time together.
Absolutely, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Company of Dads podcast. I really appreciate you tuning in week after week. Just want to use this moment here to thank the people who make it possible. Number one, of course, Helder Mira, who is our podcast editor. We also have Skip Cherryholmes, who many of you know from the Lead Dad Diaries. He's taken over our social media. Terry Brennan is helping us with our audience development, and Emily Servant is there each and every day helping with the web development. I can't do any of this without an amazing board of advisors. So I just want to say thank you to all of you who help, and I want to say thank you to everyone who listens, and hopefully you'll tune in again next week. Thanks so much.